following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us, Doug, due to Jim Langan, on this Monday, the 12th of May. Jeremy Jensen, Grand Island boys soccer coach. State tournament brackets are out. We'll talk with him. We've got the first title fight in boxing in Nebraska in over 40 years. Tony Boone covers that for the Omaha World Herald. Crawford Gamboa coming up next month. We'll get some thoughts on that and why we should be fired up about this particular event that's going to be going on right after the College World Series wraps up in Omaha. Plus, the NFL draft wrapped up over the weekend. Three Huskers were taken, so that's pretty cool because I didn't see anybody that said that more than three Huskers were going to be taken, and maybe even a little surprise, Spencer Long going as early as he did in the draft. So great for him. A lot of the young men have signed free agent deals, so we'll talk about that as well. Morning, Jimmy.
Doug, how are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm doing okay.
Weather changed, didn't it, a little bit from Saturday to today, or did it change a little bit?
I was going to say, you got to throw this. So much happened just yesterday. You know, you had Mother's Day, you had graduation, and happy thoughts and congratulations to all those. Then on the flip side, and again, graduation, depending on where you live. Then on the flip side, the folks that live in Sutton and around that part of the state of Nebraska, just a weird situation. I couldn't believe when they were talking what could happen. I said, it's 48 degrees here. You don't get severe thunderstorms with 48 degrees. Then I find out it's 80 in Lincoln and Omaha for most of the day, and that's how that happened. So to the fine folks of Sutton and that part of the state of Nebraska that looks like they might have got hit the hardest, hopefully all comes out well with those folks, to all those that were affected by anything else that happened over the weekend. Thoughts, prayers go out to those folks as well. So you've got a lot of happy times, and you got stuff like this, and hopefully that's not a sign of things to come so early in this this year, because you never know what is going to happen in the state of Nebraska or Midwest when it comes to weather.
Yeah, you know, and I'll tell you what, you know, in sports, you know, that's one thing fun about sports is we talk about that, and kind of, you know, there's different things, and when things, sometimes all it takes is a game or two of going outside and playing and participating in a sport, and you get your mind off some things, too, and I know that wasn't true when right after Nebraska and Creighton both got drilled by Baylor, and then the women's team gets by BYU, it was tough being a Nebraska fan there for a while, or even a sports fan in the state of Nebraska.
And, of course, there was supposed to be a district baseball today, but obviously that's been wiped out. Grand Island will try and host Bellevue tomorrow night at 6 o'clock at Ryder Park. And I don't know, it's supposed to stop raining, but whether it can dry things up, we'll have to wait and see. So, again, Grand Island and Bellevue baseball tonight in the A6 final at Ryder Park, they have postponed that until tomorrow night, which they will also try at 6 o'clock. We're the day before the election as well. So a lot of things going on this week, but I don't know. lot of places to start. Plus, later on in the program today, Nebraska-Creighton, they play tomorrow night in Omaha. They should be okay to go. They didn't get the brunt of what some of the other folks have. We've got a four-pack of tickets for the Nebraska-Creighton game tomorrow night, TD Ameritrade Park in Omaha, 7 o'clock go time. This is a makeup from a couple of weeks ago. But someone listening to the show today is going to get a chance to win these four tickets.
Where's this game at?
In Omaha.
In Omaha. All right.
TD Ameritrade, College World Series.
Yes, that's right.
Home thereof.
That's right.
A lot of things happened over the weekend, and we will get to some of those as we progress along the show. But don't forget, Nebraska baseball will wrap up their series with Michigan State at 12:05. The game is on the Big Ten Network. The game is also on 12:30 a.m. KHAS. The Huskers have taken the first two from Michigan State. And I guess I don't know where we're at with this baseball team. They're playing pretty good right now, Jim, but they're winning and winning and winning and winning and winning, and they're not gaining any ground in the Big Ten Conference. I didn't realize that the bottom end of the Big Ten Conference was so horrible.
You know,
because it just must be.
Yeah, at one time, I haven't looked at it this week. You know, I did not look at it this week, but at one time, there were a lot of schools that were like 8-10. I mean, it was like amazing. There were like three teams with winning records, and then there was a group of like 8-10 teams. And then, like you say, Doug, then there were some teams clear down at the other end of the spectrum. So it was like it was a three-team race just not too long ago. Is that what it still is right now, kind of?
Well, Indiana has clinched the crown,
yes.
At least a share. Illinois, so they're 19-2 in the conference. Nebraska doesn't play them. Illinois, they wrapped up with another sweep this weekend, so they're 16-5. So Nebraska has to sweep if they want to stay tied for second. They're 15-5. Minnesota's 12-9. And it looks like we pretty much know which eight teams are going to come to Omaha for the Big Ten tournament. Penn State and Northwestern are 5-15. Purdue is 5-16. So three teams with five wins. Then you go to Iowa and Michigan State, who both have eight wins. And if Michigan State loses today, then Iowa and Michigan State will be tied for seventh. If Michigan State wins, then they will be tied for sixth with Ohio State as things start to work towards Omaha here in a couple of weeks.
Right. Well, I feel like we talked about last week, and I still think Nebraska's in. I think they're going to make it, you know. And those, you know, winning two out of three, even if they lose today, which would really nice if they could sweep the thing. But, you know, I think that just Nebraska's an intriguing enough team. And being 34-17 right now, they've really got to just lose a ton of games in a row to not make it.
Yeah, I would hope, considering what we saw last year, I would hope that 34-17, winning two-thirds of your games, and the way that they have played in the second half of the season, they're supposed to look at that as well, that would play into Nebraska's favor. Kyle Kubot gets the start today for the Huskers. But there's still that chance, Jimmy, if they go against Illinois, I still haven't got a handle on how good these guys are. And it's a busy week for Nebraska. Bad scheduling, bad weather. They really don't need that Creighton game tomorrow night. They just don't, because they play today at Michigan State, and the series with Illinois starts Thursday in Lincoln. So they're playing Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. There's only one day off on Wednesday in this entire stretch of things. And say they go 1-2 against Illinois. Say they get bounced around in the Big Ten tournament, 1-2, 0-2. That would not look good going into the at-large berths. And I don't know if it really cost the softball team. They were ranked 18th. They looked like they were going to go out and destroy Ohio State on Friday afternoon, and then just fell in a little bit of a hole. And in softball, you have a four-run inning. That's usually good enough to do it. And for Ohio State, it kept them in the game, got up to extra innings. And listening to the broadcast a little bit, Nebraska flat out got outplayed. They got upset, and they got outplayed. And then Ohio State got thumped the next day by Minnesota, who went on to win the tournament. But Nebraska softball, now kind of like an old Big 8 tournament. They go to Columbia to play Kansas, and Missouri will be taking on Bradley. So that starts Friday. The Huskers will play at 12:30 in the opening game of the NCAA tournament. And Nebraska played Kansas earlier this year, and the final there was 1-0. So this is not going to be a pushover.
No, no doubt about it. And that is really, Nebraska's really played well, though. That team has really gotten a lot better, the Husker softball team has, and really improved and put themselves in a good position, though, Doug. You know, that team wasn't expected to be that good, I do not think.
Well, they were supposed to be good, but, you know, they struggled early on maybe a little more. And kind of same story with the baseball. They've been playing a lot better towards the second half of the season. Also, a couple of other sports notes. The Nebraska Danger, big win, as we were hoping. If they go out and take care of business, they score 83 points at Wyoming. And I think, as we talked with Coach Davis last week, Jimmy, this IFL has become the haves and the have-nots. I mean, they go to Green Bay this week, who had been okay, and they're 0-9. There's some teams that are really, 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 really bad. I mean, Wyoming's got one win. Green Bay's got none. And there's four teams out of the nine that are pretty decent, and the Danger are one of those. And it looks like they've pretty much cinched a playoff berth already.
Yeah, I officiate in that league. And, Doug, I'm going to tell you right now, there is no doubt that statement is true. I mean, and, you know, there's some teams that can play, and there's some teams that have maybe one quarterback, and when he goes out, I mean, it drastically changes. No one can even get the snap. You know what I mean? I mean, the cadence and the thing, I mean, it's just, you know, and what happens is people have other jobs. You know what I mean? I mean, they go, hey, you want to be the backup quarterback? Well, when are we leaving? Friday, you know, get your stuff. I don't have a helmet. Well, we'll try to find one that fits you, you know. But the other guys have been practicing and going through stuff. So it's, I'm like you, there's some of these teams are not having the same athletes as Grand Island does with their, hey, you know, you got a quarterback that started for Virginia. You get a couple offensive linemen that started at the University of Southern California. This team can play. When I go out there to referee, I have one goal, and it's not to get hit. You know, I do not want to get rammed up against that wall again. It's happened once.
Well, the Danger won it 83-47. They're 8-2, and Jameel Sewell, the great quarterback, the reigning MVP, set a franchise record with 9 touchdowns in the game, 5 on the ground, and 4 through the air. So the Danger looking good right now.
Doug, I got an interesting story. There was a guy that I went to college with. His name was Bill Roach. And Bill Roach was a tremendous tennis player. In fact, he went on and he represented the United States. And Bill's one of those guys, you know, when he was 20, he was good. But then when it was like 35 and over, he was like sensational. And they'd get into like 50 and over, and he's like ranked 3rd in the world, you know, and you're going, oh, God, you know. And I'd go watch him play every once in a while. And he was really good. But I remember in college, you know, one time I was beating like kids from Nelson in tennis. You know how you'd get your racket. We maybe would try to find 3 balls and go out and play. And we'd have to jump the fence to get them. And so I thought I was okay, because I had never really lost anybody. I think my career record was like 4-0, you know. And Billy goes, hey, we're playing badminton in a PE class. He goes, hey, grab a racket. And I did. And he beat me like 30-1, and it took like 8 seconds, you know. I mean, he didn't move, and I'm diving all over the place. I'm bleeding all over the place. But anyway, his daughter plays in the number one singles for Papillion, and she's a freshman, and she's with another freshman. And their record is 25-1, and they're both freshmen, and it's Claire Neal and Spencer Roach. And I know Billy would really be proud, and still is, you know, of that. But I know there's a lot of people that remember Billy from the area. Mm-hmm. And, 25-1 in doubles, that's a heck of a deal, Papillion La Vista.
Well, we're getting there in tennis, too. Final week of the regular season, then we'll head into state, which always is down with state track districts is this week. And speaking of tennis, Kearney High, you can't do any better than they, well, unless you don't drop a point, I guess that would be perfection, but they didn't lose a match. They went 28-0 at the GNAC conference tournament on Saturday. It's their 9th conference title in 11 years. Of course, they score as many points as you can, so that's 42. Columbus was 2nd. Hastings and Lexington tied for 3rd. Jaden Trimble is number 1 singles. Number 1 doubles is Haley Limbaugh and Paige Bacora. Number 2 is Faith Kowalski, and the number 2 doubles is Josie Kratzenstein and Vanessa Bomsberger. So congratulations to those ladies.
You Kearney High dominated the GNAC this spring. You know, just absolutely. I mean, if you take it, I don't know what the all-sports score was, but it was, we'll figure it out one of these days and release it probably in July.
Well, there's some pretty good tennis teams around here. There's good individuals, but team-wise, I think we're going to see some more make noise at state next week, A in Omaha and B in Lincoln. We'll take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show, live from the Mouette Auto Dealership broadcast booth. When we come back, we'll talk with Jeremy Jensen, Grand Island soccer coach, after this.
Come on in, let the games begin. Hi, this is Jeremy from HK Sports Bar and Grill. Or you can call it Hastings Keno. You can call it plain Keno. My point is this. We aren't just your daddy's Keno parlor anymore. We're a new restaurant. I mean, the building's in the same place, but it's a new restaurant. The faces are different. The menu is different. Atmosphere is different. Everything's different. It is a new restaurant. If you haven't been here lately, you haven't been here.
Come on in. Let the games begin.
Honestly, the first thing I thought was I might be out for a long time if I don't get this checked out, because I heard a pop in my ankle, and so I came here. It's like having a second set of coaches. They want you to get better, just like your coaches want you. They push you. It feels really, really good to get over something. It's kind of like winning a football game. It's something that you love the feeling of it, because you're back to 100%, and then you're back to playing again.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, with locations to serve you across central Nebraska.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options. But which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
A wind advisory is in effect for today, as we'll have cloudy skies and breezy winds along with scattered showers. Temperatures should remain fairly steady. Winds north 15 to 35 miles per hour with higher gusts possible at times. Right now it's 43.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, back in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on this Monday. And don't forget, Midway, Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, Midway, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, ready to roll through the month of May. And right now, Andy says, the boys need trade-ins, especially trucks. They have been moving a lot of pre-owned vehicles, and they could use your truck trade-in. No matter what the price, no matter what the make, no matter what the year, talk to Andy, talk to the sales folks at the Midway Auto Dealership, because right now they've got over 75 new trucks on hand, but they would love to get your trade-in. So maybe you get your new truck, you trade in. If they need them, you know the value of your trade-in is going to be even higher. It's the 100th anniversary of Dodge, and that means $1,000 rebates on some of their great vehicles as well. So check it out today, the Midway Auto Dealership, South 2nd Avenue, Kearney, or go to thinkmidway.com. Midway, it's a better way. Well, the state high school soccer tournament is going to get underway on Wednesday with Class A girls and a couple of Class B girls games. And then the A boys will get going on Thursday. And Grand Island has drawn the 11 o'clock game against Omaha Westside. Coach Jeremy Jensen joins us to preview the state tournament. Coach, good morning.
Morning, guys. Thanks for having me back.
Well, great to have you on. It was a little exciting there in the district final. Since we've talked, you guys really have had some battles out there. Tell me about how the team has played here the last couple of weeks.
You know, this last district final, obviously going to penalties at the end, you hate to see any game with so much meaning in that way. But, you know, I really felt like our boys played fantastic for the 100 minutes of that game. We had some really great opportunities to end it in regulation. Their goalkeeper made some fantastic saves, and sometimes that's just the way it goes. And for all the pressure and everything, playing at home, trying to get our fourth straight district win, it was nice to see the guys come through.
Jeremy, you guys picked up a couple of wins there. After we talked last, Lincoln Southwest clipped you. That was a big ball game for them. It's been low scoring here over the last three or four games. Has anything changed, or is there anything you need to change going to Omaha?
Well, you know, we've got some guys that play up top that I would argue are as dangerous as anybody in the state. I think that part of it, we've just been a bit of a victim of circumstance. You know, we've had some goalkeepers, like I said, make some fantastic plays. You know, when you really get into the tougher competition in Class A boys soccer, you're not going to really come across scoring four or five goals a game. And so, you know, when our guys up top get the opportunities, what's going to make us or break us this next week is if the guys up top actually finish when they have the opportunities. They're going to create the opportunities. It's just a matter of if they can put the ball in the back of the net. And if they can, I think we can win three straight. If they don't, we'll be done Thursday. Defensively, I think we're playing very well. And, you know, I think everybody's focused. But, you know, we've got pretty high expectations going to Omaha this year.
Hey, Jim Langan, question here for you. When the team you're playing in the first round, are they more of a defensive team, or are they more of an assertive offensive team, or do you know completely what you expect out of them?
Yeah, I think, you know, the game plan and the scouting reports that we have on them is that they really like to play direct. They've got some guys up top. Their style, I think, mirrors ours. They've got some guys up top that are pretty dangerous. They play a lot of balls just into space and try to use their speed and athleticism. And so, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see a game that we have Thursday maybe get opened up a little bit, maybe have you know, two or three goals per team in a game like that. But, you know, it's tough to say because we haven't played them necessarily. So trying to figure out how they match up specifically with us is definitely going to be a challenge.
Talking with Jeremy Jensen, the head boys soccer coach at Grand Island, as they get ready for the state tournament at 11 a.m. I would have to say you drew the tougher side of the bracket, Jeremy. I mean, I know Southwest, you gave them a little bit of a battle there on the other side, South Sioux, Lincoln East. Would you agree that you're on the tougher half?
Oh, I don't think there's any question about it. You know, I realistically look at this and say that there's probably five teams that, in my opinion, have a legitimate chance of winning this, and I think four of them reside on our side of the bracket. But with that being said, you know, I really think that we've got great opportunities to come through our side of the bracket, and if we do, we're going to have a heck of a lot of momentum going into that final. And so, yeah, that's the way we're looking at it. We've tried to play the guessing game a little bit in the last several years down there, trying to size up where we were. The reality is when you get down to Morrison Stadium, you got all the pressure and you got eight pretty good teams, about anything can happen. And so it sounds a little cliche, but, you know, we just want to take care of Omaha Westside this first game. And if we can do that, then we'll figure out what things look like between the prep and Omaha South winner, and just kind of go from there. But, you know, we feel very confident. I truly believe we're one of five teams that I really think have a legitimate chance of winning this thing. So that's all you can ask for, especially, you know, when we started the year 2-3. To be where we're at right now seems pretty good.
Jeremy, we talked about it on the show. We had Ron Higdon of the NSAA on when this was all going down with the Lexington boys and the Omaha South boys having to forfeit games for a couple of different reasons. I think they were different reasons in each case, but Lexington weren't able to bounce back and win their district and win sub-state. But Omaha South was able to win their district, and for people that don't realize, we've got that situation that should not be happening. You've got the top two teams, probably statistically, ranking wise, playing at 9 a.m. in Omaha on your side of the bracket. The NSAA knows this is something they have to fix with the adjustment of the wild cards. What are the coaches saying? What's your thoughts? Do you have any ideas of how you can still penalize a school, but yet, you know, not penalize all the other schools that are in their class or in their bracket?
Yeah, to be honest with you guys, I won't mince my words a whole lot with this. I think there's two different situations that went on between the Lexington and Omaha South situation. And, you know, I've got a lot of secondhand knowledge of it. I don't know all the facts, but if the stuff that's going around
the state in terms of the Omaha South situation are accurate, I don't understand why they're even in the tournament, to be honest with you. I think it's, you know, one of the things that we're trying to do is really teach our boys and teams how to win and win the right way. And you know, like I said, I don't know all the facts, but I think that when you have situations like this, the NSA needs to maybe take a look at things and say, does it make just more sense for this team to be eliminated from postseason competition? And if that's the case, then rather than making them the lowest seed, you just have 27 teams, the highest seed gets a bye, the first round of districts, and everything just goes on the way it is. It's just really difficult for me to look, you know, especially, you know, Norfolk, they really had a nice year. And, you know, the situation that they had with districts, and then, you know, too, so they get knocked out. But to me, it just doesn't make sense to allow this to happen the way they're doing it right now.
You know, Jim Lyon, you bring up a good point, and I need to know more information. It's got to be pretty drastic for me to say that a school cannot compete in the districts. It's just going to have to be a really drastic situation to take that. I've never heard of it before, where they've done that, you know, in any sport, you know. So I don't know the specifics, but I do understand the seeding problem that they have now. It's just amazing what they with the seeding, and I do know this. I know a couple years ago, for Ravenna finished out their whole season, played boys basketball, won the state tournament, was 29-0, and for about 6 months, they had to forfeit like 8 games. Then, about, you know, then they came back and gave them all their wins back. So, you know, it's like you say, it's got to be something drastic, because if they would have done that to somebody like that school during the district and say, hey, you can't play, and then they come back and go, I guess you really didn't do anything wrong, it's got to be a problem too. So I guess when I listen to your point, I want to make sure it's really a drastic thing.
Yeah, I think that, you know, to me, guys, it's a matter of, was it something that was overlooked, or was it deliberate? And, you know, to me, I mean, I think you can plead ignorance on a lot of things. One of the things that, to me, you can't plead ignorance on is if a kid graduates midterm and re-enrolls, you know, there's obviously something going on there. So, I mean, there's just, you know, I'm not trying to pick on Omaha South specifically. I mean, it's just, I think in general, you know, what you're trying to do is you're trying to promote the athletic side of things, but doing it the right way. And you know, it shouldn't be win at all costs. It shouldn't be an arms race to see who can get a gold medal. There's so much more to it than that. And, you know, like I said, I don't have all the facts. I know that there's a lot of chatter around the state that this is just beyond the realm of just a slap on the wrist. And if that's the case, I think it needs to be addressed, because you don't want to open up Pandora's box and all of a sudden you've got all of this other stuff going on and infiltrating its way into high school athletics. It shouldn't be a part of it.
And Jeremy Jensen with us last minute here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Let's get back to your ball club going to state now for the fourth consecutive year. There has to be a comfort level there. And maybe what have you and the kids learned that's going to help you on Thursday morning?
Well, we've been there. So, you know, that's, even though my team is very young, they've been around the state tournament, whether it's been as spectators or JV players. You know, so they understand all the pressure that comes with this. And really one of the things that we set out with every year is, sure, you want to have undefeated seasons, you want to get to the state tournament, but getting that first win at the state tournament each year is so critically important. And getting to what we call the Final Four, because the semifinal day is probably the most exciting, and all the pressure and everything. You know, you get to the final and you kind of feel like, hey, we got here, let's play well and we'll see what happens. But getting to that semifinal is really the big stretch. And so, you know, I think our boys understand we've been through a heck of a lot this year. And I think all of the stuff that we've been through has really gotten us ready for this, because I really feel like we're on the verge of playing some fantastic ball here coming up. And if we do that, even though we're young and inexperienced, we're going to be a really tough out for somebody to beat us. And so that's the exciting part with the whole thing. That's the reason why we do this.
And Jeremy, on a totally different subject here, yesterday when I got up reading the paper, hanging out, getting ready for Mother's Day and graduations, I'm clicking through the channels. I don't ever remember that much soccer on a Sunday morning. Did you have 12 TVs set up yesterday? Were you all into that?
Yeah, I was into it a little bit. You know, my team is Chelsea, and they were pretty much eliminated. They're going to finish third. But, there's a lot of that that goes on. You know, with all the guys on the team, they have their favorite teams. And so there's a lot of trash talking going on during that. But pretty neat stuff. And it's exciting to see as we lead up to the World Cup this summer. I think it's going to continue to put the game into light for people. And so it's exciting for us that are involved in it to see the sport continue to grow.
All right, buddy, I know you're real busy. Good luck down at the state tournament. Good luck tomorrow, and hopefully we can chat again about a state final coming up next week.
Sounds good, guys.
Take care.
As always, appreciate it.
You bet. Jeremy Jensen, head coach, Grand Island Boys Soccer. Again, here are the matchups for our area teams. Class A girls, Kearney and Omaha Westside, Wednesday, 11 a.m., Thursday, 11 a.m., Grand Island, Omaha Westside Boys, Thursday night at 6, Hastings, Omaha Scut Girls, and Thursday or Friday morning at 11, Hastings, Gretna Boys. Dean in Hastings fires an email off to the Dent Popper inbox who says, there needs to be some tweaks to the new Class B sub-state soccer rules. I understand the new 16-team format, allowing many teams an opportunity to make it to state. I may not agree with it, but I understand it. I also get seeding the teams from 1 to 16 and playing that format. But why reseed after the first round of substate? Hastings, a 12 seed, beats a 5th seed, and Duchesne beats a 4th seed. So what is their reward? They get the top 2 seeds in the next round. According to me, says Dean, these two teams should face each other in the next round. Can you imagine if the NCAA basketball tournament did it that way? Hey, 15 seed, you just upset a 2. So instead of playing the bracket through, let's reseed you, and now you play the 1. Just doesn't seem fair. Yeah. This substate, thanks, Dean. This substate's in its first year, so we'll see if they tweak it or not.
This is an inexact science, though, because even when we have the 32 schools that maybe make it in Class C2 in football or C1 or 8-man 1, 8-man 2, right away, all the coaches know who the best team is. And if you don't, it's within a couple of two. But every once in a while, there'll be a team that's 8-0 and hasn't played anybody, but they beat a lot of 3 and 5 schools, and they get to be the number one seed overall, and everybody wants to play them. You know, everybody, because we all know. But see, this is an inexact science. The NCAA, when they're picking that, even there's a committee, it's more of a science because they are a committee of people, and they make these decisions. And just like we're talking about, too, they know if somebody had to forfeit a bunch of games. You know what I mean? And that's why it's not in an exact sense. The Omaha World Herald, I think in soccer, you know, ranked the 8th seed, Doug, in soccer. I think they got him ranked like 4th in the state at 7-11. You know, they said, hey, this is the 4th best team. Even though they're 7-11, we have them ranked 4th. So if they were going to seed it, they would not have them playing the number 1 seed because they know that that school can play soccer. Yeah.
And now we get back to the Dent Popper inbox. Kevin says, can you explain what the accusations are against Omaha South for the listeners that have not heard it yet? Thanks. See, here's where it's all hearsay, Kevin. And Coach Jensen, I think, kind of alluded to it. If I can read between the lines, Lexington had a kid that played that was ineligible because of age. That slipped through their computers. I mean, like they say now, just about everything, when you type in all the information, the computer will catch it for you. And even if you prove it, somebody made a mistake, it slid through. For Omaha South, it sounds like they tried to bring a kid back when he shouldn't have been allowed to come back. Kind of a sound like South maybe knew that they were testing the line there a little bit, where Lexington just made a mistake. There's been no official word. The NSAA did not say. They said they wouldn't say. So, again, if you're on the inside, you know what happened. If you just a casual fan. I don't follow Omaha South soccer, so but that's what it sounds like. We'll take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. When we come back, we're going to talk a little boxing and a big old lightweight championship between Bud Crawford and Yurokas Gamboa coming to Omaha next month. We'll talk with Tony Boone of the Omaha World Herald, plus give you a chance to win tickets to tomorrow night's Nebraska-Creighton baseball game, brought to you by Husker Land Distributing, after this.
Instead of dealing with a bank, let us work for you. Hastings Federal Credit Union, the only member-owned financial institution in the area, offering checking, savings, auto, or mortgage loans too, with lower fees and truly personal service. Serving the financial needs of those who live in Adams, Clay, Fillmore, Knuckles, Thayer, and Webster counties. People helping people. Hastings Federal Credit Union, 707 North Marion Road in Hastings. Online at hastingsfcu.org. Equal housing lender, member NCUA.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right.
Plan now to take the next step in your education. Don't delay. Start this summer at Central Community College. Classes start May 27th, with additional sessions starting in June and July. Take classes online, on campus, or in your community. Get a great start on a bachelor's degree through CCC's Academic Transfer Program. Or take classes in some of today's hottest employment areas through one of CCC's career and technical programs. Call 877-222-0780 or log on to cccneb.edu. Sign up for summer at Central Community College. Registration begins April 11th.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
She wore a raspberry beret, the kind you find in a secondhand store. Raspberry beret.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you, where I don't know what's going on in the world anymore. We have a possibility. Here's what I've got from the Husker Sports Network just moments ago. Baseball may cancel, raining, and they're in a lockdown because of a shooting in East Lansing. So, again, that's just getting underway on 1230 KHAS, but whether they play baseball or not for two reasons is up in the air. I'm trying to scan some of our news dials. Jeff's busy looking on the news line and on Twitter to find out what's going on in East Lansing, but that doesn't sound good at all. So we'll see if Nebraska baseball gets in, which, of course, if something like that's going on, always takes a backseat, Jimmy, to what's going on in the real world. So hopefully... hopefully everybody's safe there. We move on the Doug and Daddy Show with a chance to catch up with Tony Boone. Folks know Tony that have been in this area for a few years for his time in Hastings, and now taking care of a business with the Omaha World Herald. And he is the main man on the boxing beat, which, you know, has been kind of quiet for a long time. But now there's something to write about. Tony, good morning.
Hey, Doug. Hey, Jim. How are you?
Well, great. Great to have you on. I mean, I was talking to some folks here who were down at Horseman's Park from our area with the big weekend of live horse racing. They say people are jacked up in Omaha for this fight. Is that because it's something new, or should we be jacked up about the first professional title fight in over 40 years in this state?
Well, I think it's a combination of two things. First of all, A, it's a unique event. Obviously, it hasn't happened around here for a long time. And second, there's a local interest because people are starting to follow Terrence Crawford now that he's, you know, risen up and within the last year, become a regular on HBO where people have been able to see him fight. And then, of course, now he's holder of one of the title belts at the 135-pound weight class. So it's a double thing, and the uniqueness of the event, and there's also a local tie to it.
Tony, I think, and I'll be honest because I'm one of them, about the only connection that most of the people around the state of Nebraska have to this is maybe reading the articles, because when Terrence Bud Crawford won the belt, it was overseas, and then there was a ripple effect that, hey, this happened. But tell us about this unique young man. If anybody has read the stories that you guys have written, there's some pretty good background on this guy.
Sure is. Well, Terrence grew up in North Omaha, a tough neighborhood, a kid that got picked off the streets by the guy who ran the boxing club. The guy lived right behind him. Saw him fighting on the streets about 7 years old, and knew Terrence's dad, his uncle, and his grandfather had all fought within this guy's gym. And basically cornered Terrence as a little kid on the street and said, hey, you know, would you like to come and start boxing in my gym? And Terrence told him, I don't talk to strangers, and ran home. The guy then followed him to his house, knocked on the door. Terrence's mom obviously knew who the guy was. The guy's name is Carl Washington, and he runs a youth center in North Omaha. And they talked to Carl, and they talked to Terrence, and talked him into starting boxing when he was a really little kid. And he kind of grew up through there. People in the boxing community, both in Omaha and throughout Nebraska, have known who he is ever since. You know, he was a youngster. It was pretty obvious early on that he was very talented. And, you know, there were guys from Omaha, from Lincoln, from even Western Nebraska that have been in the boxing ranks that said, you know, if anyone's ever going to do it, it's going to be this guy. And, of course, Terrence went over to Scotland in March and won the world championship in the WBO division by beating Ricky Burns, who had held the title for a couple of 3 years. One-sided fight. Terrence had it the entire way. And I think this has just been, you know, the crowning of a guy that everyone in Nebraska within the boxing community has seen has been the guy that was going to do it all along. And for people out in central Nebraska, if any of them went to that fight that was held at the Heartland Events Center out in Grand Island back in 2011, I think it was in February, Crawford was actually on that card. And he was obviously just in the middle part of his professional career at that point, got a first-round knockout, and really, in my opinion, really stole the show that night. You know, Showtime was there. It was kind of a big deal. Sellout crowd in Grand Island that night. And really, that's the only time to this date that Crawford's been able to fight as a professional in Nebraska. So people in central Nebraska actually got a look at him before some of the people in Omaha are going to get a chance to see Crawford live as a pro.
Hey, I saw in the article, they were talking a little bit about in the article, there's a little couple comments. Of course, the boxers are known for saying something that gets everybody excited and back and forth. But I noticed that the other fighter, I guess Gamboa, was an Olympic champion. And Crawford made the comment. He said, hey, this guy, I'm nothing but good things to say about him, but this guy should have never took this fight. Good comment on that.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting and really kind of surprising. For those who know Crawford, you know, I've been around him for the last, I guess, 10 years since I moved back to Omaha from Hastings. I've covered the boxing scene, and Terrence was just a teenager at that point. And he's really been a guy, at least publicly or with the media, that really hasn't said a whole lot. So for Crawford to actually come out and say that was kind of out of character, at least in a public setting, even if you might have been thinking that all along. It sparked a nice back and forth, certainly made the press conference more interesting to anybody in attendance, and it kind of set up the stage for what could be a big fight, not only for Omaha, but also for HBO, because Gamboa, as an Olympic champion and as a former title holder at a couple of different weight classes, is a name that everyone in boxing has known for quite a while. So Terrence throwing that out there as a little jab really kind of sparked some extra interest to something that was already going to be of interest to the HBO people.
Tony Boone with us from the Omaha World Herald here on the Doug and Daddy Show. How much interest is there in the city of Omaha?
Well, I would say that it was really exciting until last Thursday. I think it's been bumped up a level. And just before I came on the show, I was just curious as to where we're at as far as ticket sales go. I don't have a number on it, but they set the ticket prices at three levels because they wanted to make sure they could get a big crowd. So they went $100 on the floor, $50 for the better seats up in the lower bowl of the CenturyLink Center, and then if you're kind of on the ends, it's a $25 seat. And right now, the $100 and $50 tickets are already gone.
Wow.
The $100 tickets went within 10 minutes on Friday morning. And so now there are still tickets available, but you're looking on the lower end of the ticket scale at this point. And I always thought that if it was priced right and Crawford was in Omaha, that this would sell out. Omaha, and even Nebraska in general, we're in a big event town. We're a big event state. You know, everyone wants to be a part of something cool and unique, and especially when you have a local tie to it. So I always thought if they priced it right that these were going to go fast, and it's turning out that that's to be the case.
Yeah, you're definitely right about a Nebraska being wanting to be part of something like that, and that was very well proven because I can understand where the $100 tickets sold just like that, but it's amazed me that the $50 tickets went as quick as they did because the people that would pay $100 would pay $200 possibly. So I can understand where they all sold, but that's a good point about Nebraska being this type of a state and loves to be part of these things.
Well, if you just look in Omaha the last few years, you know, they've brought the Olympic trials to town. Those were a big hit as far as swimming goes. The College World Series brings in people not only from all over Nebraska but Western Iowa as well, and then you have the out-of-staters that come in for that event. I mean, that area of Omaha, especially with big events, has been a big sell. And like I said, Crawford, combination of Crawford, the events, and having reasonable ticket prices, we're going to make this a pretty big deal.
Tony, talk a little bit about the fight here. We touched on it a little bit, but what do you see here? Is Crawford a big favorite, even though both are undefeated, or what are we looking at?
I think it's unique in the sense that the people within the boxing community are going to know Gamboa more than they know Crawford, just because Gamboa's been a pro for a longer time, and he's kind of been fighting on HBO over the last 7 or 8 years. He was a former Olympic champion in 2004 from Cuba. He was a unified titleist at light featherweight, actually, which is 126 pounds, so about 9 pounds less than what he's fighting at now. And Crawford's really arrived within the boxing community on the scene within the last year and a half. Took a fight on short notice on HBO last March, won it convincingly over a guy that was bigger than him, and kind of has become an HBO regular after that. He's fought on HBO twice since then. So I think around the boxing community, Gamboa might actually be seen as a favorite just because he's more of the known name, whereas Crawford has been kind of this up-and-coming guy recently and certainly will be the favorite locally. So there's kind of a two ways to look at it in that sense. As far as just looking at him, Crawford's a bigger guy. I mean, Gamboa fought at 126. That was his best weight. He's 5'5". Crawford's 5'8", and as a lightweight, has extremely long arms. And I think that's the thing that really stands out physically about Terrence, is not only does he have the quick hands and things like that that you see from really elite-level fighters, but he's got extremely long arms for a guy that's 5'8". So there's a chance that Gamboa may never even get to him. The other thing about Terrence that has been unique about him and his career as far as his talent skill goes is that he fights both ways, like left-handed and right-handed, and I would compare him to like a great switch hitter in baseball that has both speed, bat speed, and power, and can hit for average from both sides of the plate equally. Crawford has this unique ability to change styles within a fight, and really it makes it tough for the other guy to prepare for because, you know, are you fighting against a right-handed guy or are you fighting against a left-handed guy? Because in the middle of a round, he may switch on you, and you may see the other guy the rest of the fight. He's done that throughout his career.
As far as where this will fall in history, I suppose the longer that Crawford can continue to win, the bigger piece of history he's going to be. But it's been 42 years since there's been a title fight in the state of Nebraska. What about boxing historians? There are a few of those dotted even in our area, but how are the folks in Omaha, the historians, kind of looking at this?
Well, it's funny because there really haven't been a lot of historians. There's one guy who I just randomly became friends with here covering boxing about 10 years ago. His name's Tom Lokeren, and he lives here in Omaha. And he's been a former promoter. He's been on about every single side of boxing that you can be on. And he and I talk quite frequently just about historical context and things in Nebraska. And he's done a great job, even on the State of Nebraska website, keeping track of historical things that have happened in boxing in Nebraska. Crawford's the first world champion we've had from the state in 100 years. He's the first ever from Omaha. So that in itself is unique. Obviously, bringing the title fight here is a pretty big deal. And the event alone, even if Crawford's career doesn't go as everyone thinks it's going to go, is going to stand alone historically in that sense. When you look back at the world title fight that we had in Nebraska previously, that was in 72. It was Joe Frazier, you know, a household name to anybody that knows anything about boxing. He came in and fought a local guy, Ron Stander, for the heavyweight championship. And as big of an event as that was, you know, Stander was a challenger and probably really only had a puncher's chance in this. The difference is this time is that this is the title fight in Nebraska where the Nebraska guy is the belt holder. He's the champion. And so I think that adds a little extra historical significance to this, no matter what happens with Crawford down the road. And as far as Crawford's career goes, this is the fight that I wanted him to get at lightweight because Gamboa is the biggest name out there in this division, as far as recognizability and also visibility for Crawford's career. This is one of those wins that can kind of take him to the next level, maybe from boxing star to boxing superstar. And if you get one of those, and suddenly you're talking about, you know, top 10 pound-for-pound fighters in the world within the next couple of years for Crawford, then we're talking about somebody that historically in Nebraska's sports scene is going to be remembered for a lifetime.
Tony Boone, Omaha World Herald, The Bottom Line, which you can hear every afternoon from 2 to 6 on the World Herald website. Tony's been on there from time to time. I know that Michael had Bud Crawford on there. It seems like this is a good guy, too. I mean, you never know about some of these fighters, but he seems to be enjoying the moment. You've talked about knowing him for a long time. He seems to be a genuinely good guy. Can we assume that?
Yeah, he is. And I think the great thing with Crawford is, as I said, you know, he grew up in a rough neighborhood and went through some tough times himself. I mean, in 2008, and this would have been 3 years before he had that fight in Grand Island, he actually was hit in the back of the head by a bullet. Wrong place, wrong time. Got very lucky. He was at a place in North Omaha where there was a shooting, and the bullet actually went through the window of his car, started spinning, and hit him in the back of the head. Well, a spinning bullet didn't hit him square. Obviously, it does irreparable damage if it goes through. Instead, it hit him in the skull and bounced off. He walked himself into the hospital and walked away from a horrible incident. And he's really taken that to heart in a sense of, you know, taking care of the things he needs to take care of as far as being in the right place at the right time. And as far as just being a guy, he's really down to earth, and he really doesn't, like, mince any words. He's one of those guys that kind of what you see is what you get, and what he says is what he really believes, and he really doesn't care how it's taken publicly as far as what he did. The fact that the fight landed in Omaha has a lot to do with Terrence. Because there are casinos across the river over in Council Bluffs,
really?
The people at Top Rank Boxing had suggested out in Las Vegas last month that, you know, Crawford will probably have his first title defense, you know, at the event center in Council Bluffs because of the casino tie. And then when Terrence came out the next time, he was around the public in Omaha and said, no, I'm from Nebraska. I live in Omaha. This title fight is happening in Nebraska, and we'll have it downtown in Omaha. And Bob Arum, who's 83 years old and has been involved in the careers of everyone from Muhammad Ali to Oscar De La Hoya to Manny Pacquiao, told me face-to-face last week, the reason that we're having the fight in Omaha is because Terrence wanted it, and we conceded to his wishes.
That's awesome. That's awesome. It's a good thing.
Really cool.
Good thing that he's holding true to his roots. So we'll be rooting for him. The fight June the 28th, and gonna be right there at the CenturyLink Center. All right, Tony. Hey, appreciate the time. Thanks for the knowledge, and let's do it again.
You bet. Anytime.
All right. Take care, Tony Boone, Omaha World Herald, and The Bottom Line. Joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. More on what's going on in East Lansing, a chance to win Nebraska Creighton baseball tickets. And remember, folks, TNL Irrigation Systems is the difference. New from TNL Irrigation, the Precision Link enabling web-based pivot control for TNL pivot systems. The Precision Link works in combination with TNL's Precision Point Control 3 to let you manage your pivot with your computer or mobile device and a simple internet connection. Pivot start and stop, direction, application rate, and speed. Water pump control, they're just a few of the features available. And variable rate irrigation, VRI, can also be programmed through the website. Find out more. They've been taking care of you since the 1950s. From their worldwide headquarter in Hastings, every state in the union, and over 65 countries worldwide, TNL is the difference. TNL Irrigation Systems, proven technology that works. Okay, here's what's going on in East Lansing. There's rain, but a shooting took place at approximately 11:30, which would be 10:30 our time, in the city of East Lansing. The suspect was still at large. They have closed some of the roads. Community members are advised to avoid the area, secure in place. Shooting took place shortly before the East Lansing shooting. There's two different ones. Is that correct? And we've already, there's one that has one deceased that has already been reported. So there is some weird stuff and some unfortunate circumstances going on. A couple of elementary schools are locked down. What else you got, Jeff?
That one right there, an employee at a Rite Aid was the one that was shot in the face. They won't release who it is or anything right now. But the suspect is still at large. According to Lane Grindle, they won't start until the situation has been resolved, the Husker baseball game.
So there you go. Pre-game is right now on 1230 KHAS. Let's go to break and give you a chance to be on the happy side of news. I've got a family four-pack brought to you by Nebraska Land Distributing of Nebraska baseball tickets. These are in the lower level TD Ameritrade tomorrow night for the Husker-Creighton game. And I've got the trivia question for you. The first person to get it right at 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. Everybody's eligible. If you know the answer to our question, you will win four tickets to Nebraska Creighton tomorrow night in Omaha. And as we go to break, here is the question. Nebraska baseball coach Darren Erstad played for three teams in the majors. Started with the Angels, ended with the Astros. Angels, Astros, who is the other team that Darren Erstad played for in the majors? If you know it, you'll win the tickets. Be sure you can use them, and thanks to Nebraska Land Distributing. Who was the other team besides the Angels and the Astros that Darren Erstad played for? 888-455-3776.
Comforting guidance when you need it most.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl. Dedicated, trusted, and compassionate service.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
We listen to you. We are here for you.
And we help ease a difficult time.
Our family serving your family for generations. Please call, stop by, or go online. Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares.
OneRocky.com.
People from all around are talking about how the new Refirm Now is changing their lives forever.
I lost 79 pounds. My energy has increased and I'm even more toned.
I believe this is the perfect product to give you the energy and motivation to lose weight. I actually cut my body fat in half.
Refirm Now is the biggest weight loss breakthrough in years. Helps with stress, more energy, fat burning, your appetite, and the best body toning ingredients.
I have never felt better. Just take the step and get to complete nutrition.
So if you want the strongest fat burner to hit the market since ephedrine, you need Refirm Now. Found only at Complete Nutrition. If you lose more than 10 pounds in 10 days, please contact your Complete Nutrition consultant.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Look, feel, perform better. Complete Nutrition.
Doug and Daddy Show, congratulations to Bob from Gibbon. He knew the answer that Darren Erstad started with the Angels, played the last couple seasons with the Astros. Do you know the other team that Erstad played for?
No, have no idea.
Just one season. Bobby nailed it, though. The Chicago White Sox. And he gets the family four-pack of tickets to Nebraska Creighton baseball tomorrow night. Again, they're still in standby. In East Lansing, it's raining, the tarp's on the field, there's a shooter loose in the city from an incident this morning. Hey, get on the plane and get the hell out of there. But, you know, they're probably not letting anybody move or do anything. So, you know, we'll see what happens. And then they're going to have the rules that they, you know, how it is on that last day, getaway day. It doesn't look good for playing baseball, which, you know, is down the line of things we need to be concerned about right now in East Lansing. But, in a week, we'll see how this affects Nebraska, because I think Michigan State's still a pretty good RPI, and you can't make it up, and you've got to have the game done by a certain time so that the team can get on the plane and get back, so we'll see what happens.
I was just going to say, I don't think they'll play the game if they don't play today. I don't think that this will be one of those situations where this game will probably not be made up.
Oh, no. Yeah. No time left.
Yeah.
That's it. It's all over.
And for one baseball game, that's a lot of travel, you know.
Midtown Mar cooler question. Midtown Mar of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. We asked you over the weekend, were you pleased with your favorite NFL team's first-round selection? We both said yes. We were fine. 71% of you said yes as well. 29% said no. We'll get more into football after I ask you today's question. What do you think the ruling should have been in the seventh inning of Yu Darvish's bid for a perfect game? I'm sure you saw this, Jimmy. Yu Darvish of Texas had a no-hitter going on Friday night against the Boston Red Sox, and David Ortiz broke it up with two outs in the ninth. But his at-bat previous to that, he hit a pop fly into shallow right field that the second baseman went back on, then lost it, or there was confusion and it fell between the second baseman and the right fielder. They called it an error.
Yeah, that's a hit.
It's a hit, but they gave him an error because he had a no-hitter going in the seventh inning. What should it be?
It's a hit.
But not by the rule. Not by the rule. If you said, you know what should it be? I mean, they don't put mental errors up on the board. They only put the physical errors up on the board. But forever, it's been ruled a base hit if the ball is not touched. But do you like that? I mean, there's a pop fly, the kid's under it. Then all of a sudden, bang! It hits the ground.
Yeah, this is judgment. I mean, we've got to have some type of a precedent. But a ball that is lost in the sun. I mean, I don't know how you make an error on that. I mean, if the ball's lost in the sun,
yeah, this wasn't in the sun.
Yeah, it wasn't in the sun.
It was at night.
Yeah, then it's it, or the light. I mean, but I suppose it's an error. Then I have no problem calling it an error. I mean, you know, you think about it. I mean, it's a reasonable effort.
Yeah.
These are really good athletes that are playing these games. You know, my question is this. If I throw a pass to an NBA player and he's all by himself and he dunks and he misses it, do I get an assist?
No.
Do I get an assist now because he missed it?
No.
Okay, that's a pretty good analogy.
Let's take a look at our Dent Popper inbox here. This comes from John, who says, "Death to Texas football. No players drafted. I have never laughed so hard. It couldn't have happened to a better program." That is shocking. The University of Texas had no players drafted over the weekend.
Well, maybe they should not have. You know, that's one reason they maybe didn't win a lot of games this year, right?
Man, they struggled. They still won some.
They won some games.
More than Florida. That's just crazy.
That is something, though, that Texas, when you look at Texas football, and you look at Texas A&M, and they had three guys in the top 22. And the guy that got 22nd got a little more media attention, I think, than the other two.
Yeah. Were we sick of that, too? The whole Johnny Manziel deal? If I never hear Johnny football again, I will be happy.
Well, why? I hope
he has. Him Manziel. I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah,
I want him to do well.
Yeah,
I want
yeah.
him to do well.
Yeah. I want him to have a good. You know, what's kind of interesting, you remember Joe Namath, Doug? Joe Namath? He was a little controversial.
No.
Oh, you don't think he was?
After he was in the pros, right?
Yeah, he was controversial his whole life. But Joe Namath, Joe Willie Namath. I mean, if people liked him. I mean, you know, I mean, at that time, you weren't supposed to put on a pair of pantyhose and take a picture of yourself, you know what I mean, and be on Sports Illustrated or whatever magazine it was. But, you know, that was controversial then. Now we do different things that are controversial. But Johnny Manziel reminded me a lot of Joe
Namath. Did you want me to talk about Michael Sam? Is that where you're going
no,
with
no,
this?
No. But I was just talking about the that there's professional sports. He's not the only one that was a quarterback that was somewhat controversial. Because Joe Namath was.
And just one comment on the whole Michael Sam deal, and I think I've been on this, because there are so many people that on the national stage have to make sure that they're politically correct with this. He got drafted because he's a football player. If he wants to live his lifestyle the way he lives it, why should you care? The people that are making a big deal about this is because they have an agenda. Great for Michael Sam. He was the SEC Defensive Player of the Year. Go for it. Go play football for the Rams. Make the roster. Be an all-pro. You know, why should anybody else care? Why should you care? I mean, yeah, if you don't want to watch the television footage of what was going on in their celebration, yeah, that's fine. That's fine. But why should you care? I mean, Michael Sam's a football player. He got drafted. Aren't we past that?
Yeah, I think we would be.
Aren't we past that?
It's 2014.
I mean, I know here in Nebraska, it's gonna play a little harder and a little worse than it would in California or Florida or more progressive states. But aren't we past that? Good Lord.
I agree, Doug.
Let's talk about the Nebraska players. Stanley Jean Baptiste, he's headed to the New Orleans Saints. Spencer Long's going to the Washington Redskins. Something about the Redskins. I hate the Redskins because I'm a Cowboy fan. They just keep picking Huskers. And it's not good because they haven't been good in a while. Then Quincy Enunwa is going to go to the Jets. Then you have a whole bunch of guys that signed free agent deals. Taylor Martinez to the Philadelphia Eagles. Also, and that'll be interesting because you got Chip Kelly, a college coach that can kind of take any player and do about anything with him. I think that might have been a pretty good spot for Martinez to land. You've got the Kansas City Chiefs getting Cole Penzic, Jeremiah Searle, San Diego, Brent Quali, the Jets, Andrew Green, Miami, Mohamed Cisse, Detroit, and then Jason Ankra will be down there with Jared Crick and the Houston Texans. So those are the ones we know about at this juncture. So best of luck to those young men, and hopefully a few of them make the roster. We want to thank everybody that joined us on the show today, including Jeremy Jensen, head boys soccer coach at Grand Island, as they get ready for the state tournament. Tony Boone from the Omaha World Herald on the Bottom Line to talk about the Crawford Gamboa Whiteweight Championship fight next month. Oh, tomorrow, Sean Callahan is going to join us from Husker Online to talk about these Nebraska kids that got drafted, and Big Red camp coming up for the high school kids, Big Red weekend in June. So we'll talk a little Husker football as well. We'll continue our preview of state soccer. We'll catch up with some Hastings coaches. We've got district track getting underway Wednesday and Thursday. We'll be talking with more coaches, Troutman's Tuesday trivia as well. And later this week, we'll talk with Michael Colgate, the first D2 golfer from UNK to ever make it to the Nationals. So all that coming up this week. NBA and NHL continue. Martin Keimer cutch putt yesterday on the 17th to win the TPC. Jimmy, a lot of things going on. Stay dry. We'll see you Friday.
Yeah, and the Royals scored 9 runs.
Did they win?
They won 9-7.
They were behind last I checked. I just, thank God. I'm tired of them losing. Do they finally get to come home?
Yeah, and I'm a big Royal fan again.
Yeah. See you, folks, on the Doug and Daddy Show.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.